during these drone strikes. Thanks again for coming and talking with me, Trudy. Is there any last brief comment you want to make before we cut away?
I just want to say every time we asked people in Waziristan what would help them, they said learning, having direct contact with American people and the victims of drone strikes. So I think this is very good development for them as well.
Excellent. So our thanks to my thanks to Trudy, and our thanks to Representative Grayson. And that'll be all for this evening. I'm Jimmy Tardy, KBOO News. This is KBOO Portland.
Good people, KBOO 90.7 FM Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Afro-Caribbean All Music Festival. 9 bands will play genres and rhythms all originating from Africa, including Afro-Jazz, Calypso, Samba, Salsa, Reggae, and others. The event will feature the bands Jujuba, Love Nesweisa, Super Mokako, Roots Revolution, and others. The festival will be held on November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the TAQ Center, 631 Northeast Grand Avenue, Portland, from 7 p.m. until 2:30 a.m. Come dance for 3 nights straight at the Afro-Caribbean All Music Festival, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. More information can be found on the right-hand side of the KABOO.FM website under Community Events.
Thank you so much to everyone who contributed to our recently completed fall membership drive. Your generosity keeps KABOO on the air. We ended the drive Saturday at 5 p.m., about $10,000 shy of our financial goal. If you missed your chance to donate during the drive, just go to kboo.fm right now and make your contribution. If you did pledge and still need to send us your payment, please aim to do so this week. Thanks very much again to everyone who values KABOO and helps keep it on the air.
The time is 6:01 and you're listening to KBOO. Portland 90.7 Community Radio. Coming up next is Labor Radio at 6, and after that at 6:30 is Prison Pipeline. So please stay tuned. This KABOO program has been made possible in part by KABOO Foundation members and a grant from the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde Vocational Rehabilitation Program, providing assistance to eligible tribal members with disabilities on regaining, retaining, and securing employment, particular to their strengths, capabilities, and experience. Information can be found online at grandrond.org, or they can be reached on the phone by calling 1-800-242-8196. Again, that number is 1-800-242-8196.
This KABOO program is made possible in part by KABOO Foundation members and a grant from American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Oregon Council 75, representing over 25,000 Oregon public and private sector employees, families, and communities, protecting worker rights and fighting to improve the wages and working conditions of members since 1942. More information at www.OregonAFSCME.com.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio. This is Jamie Partridge, your host for this evening. Tonight our topic is the struggle to save the People's Postal Service from cuts, closures, delay of mail, union busting, and privatization. We have a number of speakers, starting with the National AFL-CIO Convention in Los Angeles on September 11th. We'll hear discussion on the floor of the convention of the resolution to save the Postal Service. beginning with Cecil Roberts, president of the United Mine Workers Association, Omar Gonzalez of the American Postal Workers Union, John Haggerty, president of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, Fred Rolando, president of the National Association of Letter Carriers, and Fred Hume of the Office Professional Employees International Union. Then we'll be hearing from postal activists who are outside the convention, petitioning and talking with delegates, Johnny Stevens from New York City, Joe Piet from Philadelphia, and finally you'll hear a little bit about the postal struggle here in Portland. So here's Cecil Roberts, president of the United Mine Workers of America.
We do many things in the AFL-CIO, but there are a group of folks in the AFL-CIO that enhances the joy, quality, and just our general everyday living opportunities as American citizens. And I'm talking about the United States Post Office. I love to get my birthday card from my grandmother with a dollar in it. I love the day I got my union card. My wife and Barbara Easterling love to get the notice of the next Nordstrom sale. Some people call it junk mail. They call it the opportunity for a shopping experience. But most of all, I like getting mail. And I've liked getting mail all my life, 6 days a week. And brothers and sisters, there was a saying, mail moves the country and zip code moves the mail. Brothers and sisters, it's 2013. Mail still moves this country, and the union members of the AFL-CIO move the mail, brothers and sisters. They move the mail. So now to Resolution 40, submitted by the National Association of Letter Carriers, the American Postal Workers Union, the Labor's International Union of North America. Resolution 40, a postal service for the 21st century. Innovation and growth, not downsizing and decline, calls on the AFL-CIO and its affiliates to mobilize the labor movement and its allies to defeat the forces of austerity and anti-unionism in the debate over postal reform, including repealing the pre-funding mandate for retiree health benefits, freeing the Postal Service to diversify its services, and using its unique networks to address other national problems by enacting legislation that promotes innovation and growth. Mr. President, on behalf of the Resolutions Committee and all of the citizens of this country that love receiving mail because it enhances their life, I enthusiastically, with passion, move the adoption of Resolution 40.
The committee recommends that Resolution 40 enthusiastically and passionately be adopted. Is there a discussion? Delegate at mic one.
Morning. My name is Omar Gonzalez. I'm the Western Region Coordinator, proud member of the American Postal Workers Union. First of all, let me congratulate you, Brother Trumka, and the rest of the Executive Council that was newly elected and re-elected. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
The American postal workers service every community, every hamlet, every address in the USA. American postal workers service every union, every one of your members, every business. The American postal workers are employed by the American institution embodying the Constitution of our beloved nation. Indeed, your post office preceded the country. It helped establish street names, sidewalks, addresses. It explored the waterways, built the fabric of this great nation, bound the union and its people. And now powerful entities are out to destroy your postal service. We face the same evil privatizers, the same greed, the same indifference to the plight of public service employees. You want to talk about innovation? The post office had oversight over the telegraph. The first wire message was from a post office to a post office. What did they do? They sold it to privateers. The post office had electronic mail in the 70s. Electronic, computerized, originating mail. They killed it. They killed e-com in the early 80s. The postmaster general said, email would never catch on. What an idiot.
Well, he was right on.
Yeah. Today, the Postal Service is a hub of a $1 trillion postal industry. It affects the economy. It affects everybody in this room. It doesn't burden the taxpayers. It actually makes a profit. The Postal Service is the people's postal service. It still services millions of Americans that do not have or cannot use computers, and you can't text a parcel. But they, Congress, privateers, and even our own crazed management want to kill it. Brothers and sisters, don't let them get away with murder. Don't let them kill us. I stand here to urge you to support Resolution 40, and I ask and implore that you urge your members within your unions to help save your postal service. It belongs to the people. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Chair recognizes the delegate at mic two.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, brothers and sisters. My name's John Hegarty. I'm the president of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union. I'm a proud member of the Laborers International Union of North America. I serve on their general executive board as a vice president, and I serve on your general board, Mr. Chairman, proudly serving the National AFL-CIO. The National Postal Mail Handlers Union was happy to work with the Laborers International, with the NALC and the APW to craft this resolution. It's very carefully worded. I won't repeat it here, but I urge the delegates to read it over carefully. This is a jobs issue. In the last 10 to 12 years, the United States Postal Service has shrunk from 787,500 full-time, good-paying jobs to under 500,000 today. That's a loss of almost 300,000 jobs. Most of this has been accomplished through attrition, through downsizing, through automation, increased efficiency, early retirements, and plant closings and consolidations. Brother Gonzalez referenced the pre-funding mechanism. I won't bore you with the details, but basically that's an act of Congress passed in 2006 that unnecessarily burdens the Postal Service with massive costs, $5.5 billion per year, that are totally unnecessary. The press reports that you'll read say that the post office is bleeding red ink and losing billions of dollars a year. What they don't tell you, and this is the Postal Service feeding that information to the press, is that in fact the Postal Service so far this fiscal year has made a profit of $300 million. There is no need to cut services anymore, to eliminate Saturday delivery, to close processing plants and put workers out of a job. The Congress of the United States created this problem, and the Congress of the United States can fix it. As I mentioned, these are good middle-class jobs. Many of them are veterans. We had the tribute to veterans earlier this morning. Our proud men and women returning from Iraq and Afghanistan deserve a fair shot at a good job through Helmets to Hard Hats and other programs. And the U.S. Postal Service proudly employs anywhere from 25 to 40% veterans, depending on the job category. There are two bills pending in the House of Representatives and the Senate right now that would destroy another 100,000 good middle-class jobs. We urge you, brothers and sisters, to work with us, to lobby with us against those destructive bills. and to go and support the good bills that are introduced, S-316 in the Senate, H.R. 630 in the House of Representatives. Folks, the future of the Postal Service is at stake. There are 500,000 jobs at stake in the Postal Service and millions more in the affiliated industries, the paper manufacturers, envelope manufacturers, printers. The list goes on and on. Many of those are union jobs, and the ones that aren't union jobs, we're going to go out there and organize them after we come home from this convention based on the programs that we've put in place. I urge you to support resolution number 40. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Delegate at mic three.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Fred Rolando. I'm the president of the National Association of Letter Carriers and co-author of resolution 40. I want to bring to your attention also one of the major postal lies in the media. The Postal Service is not losing $15 billion a year. As John mentioned, the Postal Service year to date is making money processing and delivering the mail. All the losses that you read about have to do with this pre-funding mandate, with which I will bore you with the details. Because no other federal agency, no other company is required to do what the Congress requires the Postal Service to do. Most companies and agencies, when the premiums for retiree health care come due each year, they simply pay them. The Postal Service is required to pay them in advance for 92 years at a liability of about $100 billion. So all the Postal Service's cash, savings, borrowing authority, and so forth has been put into account, which has $50 billion in it, that they will not let the Postal Service have access to. Probably the richest broke company you'll ever see. Any legislation that does not address this pre-funding issue will instead attack the workers and do away with the precious services of the Postal Service. As John mentioned, there's two such bills that do just that, that threaten the 500,000 AFL-CIO members who work for the Postal Service, threaten their collective bargaining rights, retirement health benefits. On the service side, it looks to do away with six-day mail delivery and door-to-door delivery. These legislators, instead of having your letter carrier walk through the rain, sleet, and snow, would have your grandmother do so instead. You may recall earlier this year, the Postal Service, the Postmaster General, attempted to begin the process of dismantling the Postal Service by announcing he would unilaterally do away with six-day mail delivery August 5th. The NALC, the other postal unions, AFL-CIO affiliates, many of them in this room and our community allies, mobilized, hit the streets, and the public spoke loud and clear that they don't want their Postal Service dismantled. As a result of that, August 5th came and went, and we are still delivering your mail 6 days a week. We won that battle, but it's a much larger war, so we ask your support of this resolution so that we can continue to support any legislation that will allow the Postal Service to grow and rail against any legislation that looks to destroy the Postal Service as we know it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Fred. Chair recognizes the delegate at mic two.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brad Hume, Office of Professional Employees, Local 277, representing the Savannah Regional Central Labor Council. All labor councils are the communication center for labor in their jurisdiction. Our affiliates answered the call when we surrounded Congressman Barrow's office to save the Postal Service. And again, when the letter carriers called for support for six-day delivery. What our affiliates learned and what I'm here to share with y'all is the for-profit companies, UPS, FedEx, will drop parcels on the docks of the U.S. Postal Service for them to deliver on places they don't want to go. Our letter carriers deliver those parcels to everywhere in the United States. I urge the support of this resolution.
Thank you, brother.
The question is on the adoption of Resolution 40. The committee recommends that you vote for the resolution. All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Resolution is adopted.
You've been listening to recordings of the speeches made on the floor of the Convention Center in Los Angeles, the National AFL-CIO Convention, on the second week in September. This is Labor Radio, KBOO, Portland. I'm Jamie Partridge, your host this evening, and now we'll hear from a couple of activists outside the convention. So I'm here with two members of Community Labor United for Postal Jobs and Services, with Joe Piet from Philadelphia. Hey, howdy, Joe.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever this is going to be produced.
And I'm here with Johnny Stevens from New York City. Good morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Hello, everybody.
So, Johnny, tell me, why are you here at the AFL-CIO convention? Come all the way from New York City.
Well, I'm one of the members of the Community United for Postal Jobs and Services. And initially, we wanted to impress upon a request that the AFL-CIO, talking about community change, aid the rank and file as well as our coalition and as well as the four different postal union to fight the U.S. Postal Service attack on postal workers' jobs and services. Of course, when we got here, we did a lot of that and got petitions and so forth.
And what kind of response have you been getting from the delegates here?
Well, we've been getting incredible response. I did a lot of work outside, and sometimes you catch people when they want to get away from the big sessions, they get a break, and they're more relaxed.
And what kind of response did you get to talking with folks about the postal crisis?
Well, everyone said, we need the Postal Service. The minute you say, sign a petition to save the Postal Service, everybody turn around, even if they're running in and out. Because when you raise the question of union busing, privatization, which we have a flyer that actually deal with privatization with Clutcher as well as Community Postal Workers United, which is a national rank and file postal workers organization. And especially when you put on their service, then they see the release that it's this change. You know, they say, are you a postal worker? I say, no. I say, I get a service, and my mother is 80 years old, and she's down in Georgia in a rural area. And my wife get mail, medicine through the mail. She's a teacher. So I need the service. So it says change. And I think that's the relationship that workers in the community or everybody got to come to, that we have a relationship with each other as workers in service productions and so forth. But it's overwhelmed.
Thank you, Johnny. Now, Joe, tell us, why are you here?
Well, I like Johnny's answers. Well, I'm here because, first of all, the postal issue. I want all the unions here to really support the postal struggle. I really do think that privatization affects all workers. I think that's the title of our flyer. You know, because if they get rid of the post office, that means anyone who wants to mail a parcel is going to be paying higher prices. It doesn't matter what union you're in. It doesn't matter whether you're in a union at all. You're going to be paying more. And it affects communities of color, seniors, it really hurts everyone.
Thank you, Joe Piet from Philadelphia, and Johnny Stevens, New York City, Community Labor United for Postal Jobs and Services. Next up, we're going to move from the halls of the AFL-CIO convention to the Portland struggle to save the People's Postal Service, in particular to stop privatization of the People's Postal Service, to save family wage union jobs. This is Jamie Partridge, retired letter carrier and organizer with Portland Communities and Postal Workers United. While Congress is stuck on stupid and unable to pass any meaningful legislation to fix the Postal Service, the Postmaster General is on a rampage closing half of our mail processing plants. The Salem mail plant was shut down in June. Postal mail handlers and clerks lost their jobs in Salem, and the work is being subcontracted to low-wage, non-postal, non-union mail Matheson flight extenders in Portland. At the same time, Portland postal truckers are being put on standby while low-wage, non-postal, non-union Dillstar Route Incorporated Trucking takes their work. This privatization and union busting is being carried out in the name of that phony financial emergency that we heard about on the floor of the AFL-CIO convention. So mail handlers and mail processing clerks. The mail sorting machines being moved from Salem, they say, cannot fit into the Portland Air Cargo Center, so space is being leased next door in the Matheson Flight Extender facility. But when the SWYB machine is moved into the Matheson space, it will be worked by 12 non-postal mail handlers and 6 non-postal clerks hired by Matheson. The Postal Service management says the subcontracting is necessary to save labor costs in this, quote, financial emergency, unquote. Now, the truckers, no postal truckers have been hired for years, leading to understaffing and excessive overtime. Postal management's solution is to subcontract approximately 20 trucking routes to the in the Portland area to a fly-by-night outfit, Dillstar Route Incorporated Trucking. Not only was this a no-bid subcontract, but the company is in bankruptcy. They owe the Postal Service over $300,000. Dillstar Route Incorporated is using the Postal Service trailers, while the Postal Service pays over $30,000 per month to lease 9 tractors for Dillstar's use. Meanwhile, postal management abolished 7 full-time trucking positions, and approximately 15 postal truckers have had their hours drastically reduced and are stuck on standby 2 to 6 hours a day. As I mentioned, this financial emergency is phony, and since 2006, the Postal Service, as we know, has been forced to spend nearly 10% of its budget pre-funding retiree health benefits 75 years in advance, and no other U.S. agency or private business faces such a crushing financial burden. And not only would the Postal Service have been profitable without this mandate, the Postal Service has also overpaid tens of billions into 2 pension funds. But meanwhile, the Postmaster General is on a rampage with costly cuts, closures, and contracting out. Not only has he closed half of our mail processing plants in the last year, but he's reduced by hours by 25 to 75% in half of our post offices, put 10% of our post offices up for sale, and subcontracted trucking and mail handling, eliminating tens of thousands of family wage postal jobs and delayed mail delivery. The Postal Service's own studies, revealed at the March 22, 2012 meeting of the Postal Regulatory Commission, showed that big mailers leave the system as a result of such delays, costing more in lost revenue than is saved by lowering labor costs, not to mention the dramatic increase in trucking costs as mail is transported hundreds of extra miles to be sorted in the closest still open facilities. Postal workers have seen their wages cut by 25% for new hires. Bottom tier postal support employees, that's truckers and clerks, and mail handler assistants now make less in wages and benefits than the non-postal, non-union subcontract workers. Postal Service is not broke. Subcontracting work is unnecessary and costly. But the agenda of the 1%, their friends in Congress and postal management, is to cripple the Postal Service, to soften it up for union busting and privatization. We can see this happening right now in Great Britain, where the Royal Post has been voted to be completely privatized by Parliament. And we can see this happening in other parts of the world as well. Privatization is on the agenda. The Postal Service is a $65 billion annual business with over $100 billion surplus in its pension and retiree health benefits funds, over 30,000 post offices and 200,000 vehicles. We're facing a huge transfer of public wealth to profiteering private corporations. Here in Portland, the resistance is being led by Portland Communities and Postal Workers United, fighting cuts and closures to the Postal Service for the past year. In May of 2012, 10 activists were arrested occupying Portland University Station post office, which has since been closed. In April this year, five protesters went to jail for a civil disobedience action at the Salem mail plant, which is now being dismantled with mail processing machines moving to Portland. The same group was arrested in July, occupying the Matheson Flight Extender plant, and has blockaded Dill Star Route Incorporated trucks multiple times, demanding that these companies stop stealing family wage union jobs. And this week, the protesters plan to occupy a Portland postal facility to protest privatization. So stay tuned. This brings us, wraps up our time here on Labor Radio. This has been Jamie Partridge, but let me mention to our listeners that you can participate by making a call to postal management, local postal management, to protest this contracting out privatization of the People's Postal Service. Call Erica Bricks, the district manager, at 503-294-2500, and Brenda Jackson, the trucking manager, 503-294-2402, and Lisa Shear, the mail processing and mail handling manager, 503-294-2206. And if you want to get involved or find out more information from Portland Communities and Postal Workers United, 503-752-5112. And that wraps it up for Labor Radio this Monday night and every Monday night at 6 p.m., the only radio show of its type in Oregon or Southwest Washington, of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. Thanks to our engineer, Danielle, and we'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home.